Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. A very interesting week in the world of professional wrestling, folks, and we're going to get started with the ratings, because I know everyone was anticipating what's going to happen. AEW broke 1.1 million last week, and of course NXT was up by 100 and some odd thousand over their normal last week. So what is it that was going to happen? Well, that's very interesting. This week, NXT is down, with their ratings being around 780,000, approximately. And AEW took a huge hit all the way down into the 890,000 range from 1.1 million. Now, I went online, and I have to snicker because everybody is blaming this on Joe Biden's address to the nation. And look, did that take away some viewers? Maybe. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that 400,000 people decided to watch a speech by the president that was one of the lowest rated ever, by the way, I'm going to cry BS. I'm going to cry BS on that. Sorry, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that wrestling fans said, oh, as much as I'd love to watch AEW this week, the president is on. I have to sit and watch a speech that I almost fell asleep watching 15 minutes of on replay. I don't believe it. But even if I did, let's say Joe Biden tanked AEW's ratings. What does that say about AEW? It says that your fans, a quarter of your fans, would rather watch Joe Biden give a speech than your wrestling. A speech, by the way, they could get the highlights on the news an hour later. That's what it says about your wrestling. So don't give me that. Don't give me that. Do you think for 1 minute, I don't care who the president is, I don't care whether it was Biden, Trump, whoever, if there was wrestling on that I wanted to see, I'll catch the highlights of the presidential address later. I'm a wrestling fan. I'm watching my wrestling first. I can't get highlights of AEW on the news. And I don't want highlights of AEW on the news. I want to see the whole match, right? I don't care what Biden or any other president says for an hour and a half. I can get everything they said wrapped up and encapsulated into a nutshell in 3 minutes on the news. So if you're expecting me to believe that all of these AEW fans said, can't watch tonight, the president's on, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. Now maybe the ratings will prove me wrong next week and they'll go back up to 1.1 million, but man, even if they do, then AEW has a problem. And the problem is a quarter of their fans would rather watch a speech than their wrestling. I consider that a problem, Mike. I mean, I don't buy that Joe Biden's speech took away this many fans.
I don't buy it either. I mean, this speech was under, according to what I'm seeing, this speech was under 27 million. And for a presidential speech to the Congress, that's not good. All right, that is not good at all, and especially the fact, well, I don't want to get political here, and we're not going to get into that, but the ratings say it was a horrible speech. I've seen the replays of the speech. It's a horrible speech, you know. And
very boring.
Frankly, yep, it's boring, yeah. So, I mean, it was worse than your typical boilerplate, you know, State of the Union, you know. And that's no joke. And as far as, you know, I do expect them to go up again. Now, if they, you know, if they yo-yo up and down, I don't know. And we'll get into where they might or might not end up later. But in terms of whatever happens with the hockey stuff, but if they're going to do this up and down, now, their up and down before this was, you know, we saw it. They go, you know, 700,000 to maybe 900,000, 925,000, right? Now, if they're up and down and goes from 1.1 million to not 840 million or 860,000, then goes back up again to 1.2 million, that's, they got to figure out how to get consistent, you know?
You know what the problem is? I don't think AEW fans are consistent. That's the problem. I think AEW is filled with some fans who are like, I'll watch it tonight. I don't need to watch it next week. I'll watch it this week. I don't think they are as avid a group of fans. You'll notice that NXT has stayed fairly solid. They always have that like 100,000 fluctuation. But mostly it doesn't get much lower than 750,000. And it doesn't seem to get much higher than about 850,000. It's right there, and it's always there. AEW, as you correctly pointed out, they're all over the map. One week they're breaking a million, the next week they're struggling to break 800,000. I don't get it. The only thing I can say is they're not capturing as many people's attention as their media hype would have you believe, because you can't have it both ways. Either you're such a popular wrestling federation that your fans can't wait for you to come on, or that a speech that even the most avid supporters of the president said was boring, terribly boring, was enough to drive you away from the federation that you claim your fans are so adamant about. Doesn't make sense to me. Does not make sense to me. Now, AEW has pissed me off. And I'm a man of my word, and I said, when baseball pissed me off, I'm not watching it. When football pissed me off, I'm not watching it. AEW has pissed me off. I will catch highlights so I can report it to you. I'm not watching it. And the reason I'm not going to watch it is because this week, once again, referee by the name of Drake Wirtz was called on the carpet, had his position in the company greatly reduced because he had the nerve, the unmitigated gall to have an opinion. He had the nerve to call up a council meeting and give his opinion that mask wearing was helping to contribute to white slavery operations or human trafficking operations. Oh, he's a radical conspiracy theorist and he's a nut. Truthfully, although I don't think he was very articulate in the way he presented his case, he's probably correct. He's probably correct in the same way as if you can't identify somebody because they're wearing a mask, it's pretty damn hard to figure out who somebody is. In other words, if you put up a poster, missing child, here's the face of the missing child, and you can't see the missing child because 90% of their face is covered by a mask, then you're probably not going to get a lot of people saying, I think I saw that kid. Duh. But no, he must be nuts. He's one of these foil hat people. How dare he have an opinion? Okay, well, if you want to be a little, remember when I was laughed at? Remember when people were making fun of me because I said, I hope AEW doesn't turn into some kind of a left-wing Federation for nothing but the social justice warriors of the world. Remember when I said that? And everybody said, oh, that's freaking ridiculous. That's not going to happen. Well, what's this? I don't care who you are. I don't care if you hate Donald Trump and you love, love, love Joe Biden. Are you going to tell me that in the United States of America, you're not allowed to have an opinion? And if your opinion doesn't go lockstep in with what they believe, you're going to be punished? You think that's normal? You think that's right? Because if you do, you, my friend, are a communist. That's what communists believe. In other words, if that guy had called up that show and said, I can't stand the fact that people aren't wearing masks. I'm worried that it's going to keep this pandemic going much, much, much longer. And please, people, please wear masks. Tony Khan would have had a hard on and featured him on his show saying, isn't this wonderful how our people are speaking up? Isn't this wonderful how even our referees and everything are trying to get together and make it better? But oh, no. He dared say there might be a downside to this. And you can't do that. You can't say there's a downside to a liberal agenda. Fool, that makes you an enemy. We can't have our enemies working for us. We can't have our enemies having a platform and being given a voice. Dare you? So that's fine. If that's the way you want to run your federation, you got a private business going, my friend. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't mean I have to buy into it. And I'm not buying into it. I'm not buying into it. You want to choose who you want to watch your show or who you want to work for you, fine. And when all these people find something better to do because you're just flavor of the week, as I warned you was going to happen to your federation if you become a social justice warrior federation, because that doesn't mix with wrestling. That just doesn't mix with wrestling. There's no such thing as politically correct wrestling, and if there is, it's garbage. And we're going to get a little more to AEW in a moment. But, hey, the bottom line of the situation is if this man, on his own time, cannot express his opinion without being punished by his workplace because his political views or his views socially do not match those that are given of him, I'm not watching it anymore. Now, before you say, well, you're watching WWE and look what they did to Riker, who's the last guy standing? Where's the rest of the Forgotten Sons who quickly jumped off of his ship and said, we don't believe what he believes. We don't believe that the president is good. We don't believe what he believes. Don't punish us. We don't believe it. Yeah, Riker's still standing. He's still got a job. Those two guys don't. Which is the exact reverse. If you want to be a sniveling little coward and buckle before the mob, we don't need you. That's why I'm watching the WWE. Yeah, he was taken off TV for a while, probably because the wrestlers were hot at him, and they didn't want there to be any retaliation in the ring or anything. But he's still got a job. Now, so does this referee Wirtz, but greatly reduced. And people are real mad at him. Oh my God, you upset the Young Bucks. Oh my God, how dare you? How dare you upset these two little dudes? Who, by the way, I'm not even going to get into it, but I will get into the Young Bucks a little bit later. But Todd, since when in the world can't you have your own opinion?
It seems like you're not allowed to have one. Like you said, everybody has a right to their opinion, and so apparently the AEW seems like you don't want you to have an opinion about something.
Yeah, look, bottom line of the situation is this. Tony Khan has a right to believe what he wants to believe. So does every single other wrestler in AEW. They do not have a right to tell somebody else, you need to believe this too or you will be punished. Period. They don't have a right to do it. And if you allow them to get away with it, if you just say, oh, it's no big deal, well, then you're part of the problem, not the solution. Mike, this really came as a shock to me, and it really upset me.
It kind of did me, too. I will continue to watch it only because it's a protest watch against the WWE and stuff like that. I do watch other things, but you're right. And look, here's what's bad about this. This is the exact same thing that is being done on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter,
yep.
You know. And this guy has said this same thing on a podcast on Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. He's going to get a strike against him and maybe get kicked off of one of those things, you know, because there's...
And look, you've got people right now. This isn't, obviously, it's not a political show or a show on social issues, but you've got viral experts right now, not one, not 10, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people whose job it is to study viruses, whose job it is to treat patients, saying masks never work. The masks were useless. Now, you won't hear their voices because they will not be allowed on YouTube. They will not be allowed to offer up their opinion because it doesn't go in lockstep with the government. This is an alarming trend because we should know all sides of something. In other words, let's say you're suffering from some disease, and a doctor says, this medicine, in my opinion, will work. And when someone tries to tell you this could cause way more bad side effects, no, you can't listen to them. You listen to me and I say it'll work. Wouldn't you say, wait, hold the phone. I want to hear what this guy has to say. He seems very concerned. This is my health, after all. I'd like to hear if there's going to be side effects. I'd like to hear if there's a problem. Oh, no, you can't. Well, that's what this country's become. And now if you speak out in any way, shape, or form, you're silenced or you're ostracated, and I'm tired of it. See, here's the thing. There's no one. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a wrestler themselves or I don't care if it's a fan. There's no one who loves pro wrestling more than me, and if you know me well, you know that's true. I have lived, breathed, and slept it and ate it since I could waddle in diapers. But never in my lifetime have I ever needed a professional wrestler. I've needed a doctor. I've needed a policeman. I've needed our farmers. I've needed our truck drivers who ship the things. I've needed our, emergency services, EMT and fire and all that. I don't need a professional wrestler. So I'll just walk away from it. I don't care. There's plenty of other things to choose from. Here's some people who weren't in trouble. Nick and Matt Jackson, who decided it would be really, really good publicity for AEW and show such an outreach of appreciation to their fans that when a photographer put up a picture of one of them, I don't know which, Matt or Nick Jackson. They took it, I guess, and he sent it to them, and they took it and posted it on their Instagram, and they didn't give the guy credit for taking the picture. And apparently he's a professional photographer. Not taking pictures of wrestlers and sent it to them, and I didn't say, give me credit. I don't care if you give me credit. I'm not a photographer. But if I write a song for them, and they come out to it, I'd like to have credit. Because that's what I do. Well, this photographer said, thank you very much for using the picture, but do you think you could just give me credit because that's what I do, and it would be nice if you, gave me a little publicity if you're going to use my picture. And they snapped back at him and said, never mind, we'll take it down. Did you have my permission to take that picture? Did you ask me before you took it? I don't need to give you any credit. I don't need to promote your business. I just won't use your picture. That's what they snapped back at a fan. Well, let me snap back at you because you guys are idiots. Number one, unless the ticket or the venue clearly says you can't take a picture, they're free to take a picture anytime they want. They don't need your permission. What in the blue hell makes you think they need your permission to take your picture? If the venue does not clearly say no photography allowed, please explain to me. One of you two rocket scientists. Please explain to me. You know, they built up this reputation for being rude and obnoxious and confrontational. Call me. Call me. You ain't met confrontational yet. I'll tell you exactly what's up. You're idiots, the both of you. You're lucky to be pro wrestlers because you're little pint-sized, do-the-same-moves-every-single-match type dudes. You're living off a past reputation. How long are you going to call yourself the Young Bucks till you're 50? And you got one dude who's nice enough to send you a picture. He's a pro photographer, by the way. And you don't even say, gee, thanks to so-and-so for the picture. What an excellent photographer he is. No, no. And when you're asked to do it, oh, I can't be bothered. How dare you ask me, the mighty wrestler, to promote you an underling? How dare you? Did you have my permission to take that picture? You guys are idiots. You're total idiots. You're total jerks. I'll tell you to your face, like I care. Like I care who you are. Now, the deal is this. Apparently, they patched it up. Because probably the powers that be said, hey, idiot, hey, moron, you don't snap back at our fans like this. Go patch that shit up. Okay. Because, see, all they respect is where their paycheck comes from. They don't give a damn that it really comes from you. Oh, they're not in trouble, though. They're just fine. They can insult fans and degrade fans all they want. It's all right. But God forbid if they say, I don't really think wearing these masks is the greatest idea in the world. Oh, well, then that's it for you then. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, Chelsea Green apparently did the same thing. She got a little bit upset with a fan who apparently said the same thing. Could you give me credit for taking the picture? And initially she said, well, I'll just take it down. I didn't know I had to do all that. But then she's actually apologized and said, this is my bad. I'm an artist. I should have known. I guess he made her like a logo or something with a picture in it. And she said, I should have known. It's my bad. Look, I've been around the block with professional wrestling. I've heard all the stories about Matt and Nick Jackson. I've met them. They're smarmy little I'm better than you type people. That's what they are. And for some reason, they've got this reputation that they're the greatest tag team in the world when they're not even in the top 50 of all time. And truthfully, if they wasn't up Cody's ass so deep that they know what he eats for breakfast, they probably wouldn't even be top dogs in AEW. But when you kiss that much ass, I guess there's some, you know, benefits. Cody's made them hierarchy. So, Cody, let me ask you a question. You've made them a little more than just performers in this company. Do you think that's an adequate way for people to treat the fans? Do you think that's an adequate way for people who do represent your company, not just in the ring, but behind the scenes, in a business capacity? Do you think that's an adequate way to do that? And do you think that someone so stupid they don't realize you don't need their permission to take a picture if the venue hasn't said they can't, do you think that's a good businessman, or do you think that's a moron? I'm just curious. Because I know that if I headed a company and someone had said that to a fan, they would be fired. Or at very least, they would be called on the carpet so hard that they would never even consider doing it again. You don't treat your fans that way, number one. Number two, learn a little bit of business etiquette. I mean, how stupid is his argument? Did you have my permission to take the picture? You're the one who posted it, Einstein. Now, if he had sent that Matt Jackson or Nick Jackson that picture, and their very first response was, excuse me, did you have permission to take that picture? I would understand. Because what they're basically saying is, we're not using it, and you really didn't have the permission, you shouldn't do that. No, they use it. And then when they're called on the carpet about not giving somebody credit for using it, they say, did you have our permission? I don't know. Did you have permission to use it without the consent of the guy who took it? If I send them a song and say, you know, what do you think? Would you consider using this as a theme song for your entrance? And they just use it without my permission. And I say, excuse me, did you have my permission to use it? And they say, excuse me, did you have our permission to send it to us? Are you on drugs? You're idiots, the both of you. You're two chuckleheads. And you're not representing your company very well. And AEW is failing. See, I told you this was going to happen. They're failing to live up to their own moral code because that's what happened. You set these high, high standards. We're going to be different. We're all going to sit in a circle and sing Kumbaya. We're all going to be brothers and sisters in arms, and we're all going to, yeah. And then this crap happens, and you look like idiots because you set your bar so high, you can't possibly live up to it. And your performers don't take it seriously. It's hilarious. They're stumbling all over themselves to say, we will never let Joey Ryan in the building again because he sexually harassed women. And what do you think Taz did? Did Taz not have a suit against him from a tanning salon saying that he heavily sexually harassed a woman who worked in the tanning salon? Because I believe he did. Now, I'm not saying it's true or false. I don't know. But he had that allegation. He's there. Please, you can't even live up to your own standards. So now you're stumbling all over yourself. And you're making fools out of yourself. Mike, this Jack, the Young Bucks situation is, this is not good for AEW.
Right. Look, I have other problems with the Young Bucks, which is, as we've talked about before, they're wrestling. But, yeah, you're right, and that's the thing. That's the thing with the Young Bucks. Again, they're in their 40s, whatever, and they're calling themselves the Young Bucks. I mean, we're the Rock and Roll Express. Well, the Rock and Roll Express, the reason why they were so popular even as late as they were is because people still want to see them, right?
Yeah,
they've had a good attitude. The Rock and Roll Express have had a good attitude for a long time. People like them. The guys in the back, the guys in the locker room like them. You know, no matter where they went, they like them. That's why I don't think that the Young Bucks are gonna have that longevity like the Rock and Roll Express, whom they say they pattern themselves after, right? So it's like
they wouldn't have
okay.
Right now. If it hadn't been for Cody Rhodes and AEW, the Young Bucks would be where? Back on the independent circuit where I saw them and they weren't drawing 300 people. I mean, let's just call it what it is. If you're on an independent card of wrestling and you can't draw 200-300 people, how popular are you? I promise you. That if somebody like, John Moxley or Chris Jericho were to come to an independent card of wrestling, you'd have to turn people away. You'd have to say, I'm sorry, there's not enough seats in the building. Unless it was a big stadium event, in which case it wouldn't probably be an independent card. But if you think some building that holds 300-400 people is going to be half full if Chris Jericho's there or John Moxley's there, you're insane. There'd be people waiting outside. I've been to plenty of them with the Young Bucks, and there were empty seats. So don't tell me they're a draw. If they're such a draw, how come they didn't? And it wasn't like one time it happened. I made 8-10 cards with them on it. Very seldom were they sold out, and if it was a sold-out event, it was because they had somebody a lot bigger than them on there. So they need to get over themselves. Now, somebody I'm feeling sorry for today is Molly Holly. Molly Holly said that she had her speech cut by the WWE. They told her she would have 15 minutes to give her Hall of Fame speech. And she said, I currently have a 9-to-5 job. Apparently, she did not make enough in the world of professional wrestling to simply retire and not do anything. So she has a 9-to-5 job. And she said, I would go home from work and literally practice my speech while I took my walk. I would just practice and practice and practice my speech because I wanted it to be perfect. And I had it down to, you know, 14 minutes and 58 seconds so I could say goodbye and leave. And the night of the event, they told her, yeah, you got 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Two. And she said she literally went out and did the speech, but she broke down in tears because she was so upset. And she said, this is not really unusual for the WWE. They would tell the women, you have 15 minutes to do your match, and we would have a great match worked out that told a good story, and then we'd be waiting to go out for a match, and they'd say, cut that to 4 with entrances, which means you had 2 minutes of ring action. So this is a typical WWE thing. I don't know why they did it with Hall of Fame speeches, because really, to be perfectly honest with you, they were taped anyway. So why in the world could you just not edit it as you see fit and have the edited and unedited versions? If you needed the edited versions on TV for time, okay. But then release the unedited versions and say, you know, for the people who want to see the entire speeches, go to the WWE Network or Peacock or whatever, and you can hit the unedited versions and you can watch. It's a shame. I thought a lot of those speeches were very, very short, Todd, but wow, 2 minutes for Molly Holly.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with those Hall of Fame speeches, didn't feel like it was a Hall of Fame or anything. It just didn't feel like speeches are not from the heart or anything. Just like they're scripted, mostly.
Well, speeches are scripted, but I mean, when you just get to the point where you have to walk out and say, thank you very much. I'm deeply honored by this award. I always look forward my whole life to possibly one day being in the WWE Hall of Fame. I never dreamed it would possibly come true, and now I'm here in front of everybody saying it is. Well, thank you. Good night. Whoa. What's the point then? What's the point of even showing up? No wonder some of the guys didn't show up. They did it via satellite. What the hell, man? I'm not traveling all the way there to have a minute. I mean, even some of the big celebrities like Ozzy Osbourne and William Shatner, they're just like, okay, thank you. Night. Well, it's an acknowledgement. It's not even a speech. It's an acknowledgement. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's pretty funny, but it wasn't funny to Molly Holly, Mike, and then that's an awful thing to do to somebody who's, you know, told they were going to have 15 minutes.
Right, and that's the thing. Think about this. From that, she was one of the few wrestlers out of the you know, mud wrestling, pillow fight, you know, attitude era that went on to have a pretty good career as a wrestler, and not just you know brawn panties, pillow fight. All that crap that they were doing back then, you know, right. You're going to treat her like this. I mean, she came in a couple times, what, last year, 2 years ago and did a couple things in a couple of, you know, the battle royals and stuff, and she looked great doing it, and you got to do this to her? But it doesn't surprise me.
Mike, this is a woman who shaved her head bald. This is a woman who lost a loses their hair match or whatever and had her head shaved bald, if you remember. I think that was during a King of the Ring or something. She went the extra 9 for this company, and, 2 minutes is outrageous, just outrageous. And this is coming right after, of course, the allegations, not allegations, the fact that Mickie James received her belongings back in a trash bag. Now, Mickie James has come out and said, this was a little overblown. I did not post the picture trying to get somebody fired or anybody in trouble. In fact, I thought it was kind of humorous. I just thought, oh, look, they put my crap in a trash bag. So I wasn't necessarily all that upset about it. I posted the picture, and they fired Mark Serrano, which she said, I'm sure he maybe had something to do with it, but he's certainly not the live-all-die-all there, and he probably wasn't the one who did it. In fact, she went on to say the person who gave me the most trouble while I was there and always treated me with the least respect and made my life hard is still very much employed by WWE. I don't know who that is. I have no idea who it is, and she's not saying. What she is saying, however, is that a couple of years back, she pitched what we pitched 5 years ago, I believe, on this show, 4 or 5 years ago, when we said, why don't you just have a women's show? Why don't you just have your own federation with just the women? And that way you don't have to worry about 2 matches on Monday Night Raw and 3 matches on SmackDown. Just go ahead and just have a women's show. You have your own network, or did at the time. Why don't you do that? Apparently Mickie James pitched that to someone who, again, will remain nameless, and that person told her in no uncertain terms, and I quote, it will never, ever happen. And the reason it will not happen is because there is absolutely zero money in women's wrestling. Zero. Now, that might sound harsh, but I thought about it a little bit, and he's probably correct. Whoever told her this is probably correct. Evolution was the lowest ranked pay-per-view in the history of WWE, as far as viewership is concerned. That meant that there's less interest. And let's just think about this for a minute. Women have their own basketball league. Does it draw like the men's basketball league? No. Women have their own division in boxing. Do they sell out like men when in the boxing? No, this is not being misogynistic. This is just being realistic. Women's sports, as a rule, do not draw anywhere near the fan base of male sports. They just don't. Now, I know people are going to say, well, what about UFC Ronda Rousey? Yeah, see, this is what I'm going to get into. I was going to do a whole show about this, but we'll just get into it here. Women's sports tend to be more about one individual or two who catches fire. In other words, you'll watch male basketball, and yes, there are big stars and there are lesser stars, but it's not so much about them. It's about the team, or it's about the sport itself. With women's sports, you get that rare person like Ronda Rousey. And because of Ronda Rousey, you're like, I'm interested in the women's division of UFC. You didn't give a damn about the other people for the most part. It was Ronda Rousey. She was the one. She became that organically popular person and the household name that you say, oh, I'm tuning in to see that. As soon as she left, that division went to hell. And it went to hell because there's no other name ready to step up and take that responsibility on of being that household name, of being that media figure, that pop culture icon. There isn't. That was her. In tennis, you had, you know, Venus and Serena Williams, or I guess way, way back, if you want to go into the archives, you had like Billie Jean King or something. Those people attracted people, but for the most part, men's tennis draws more because there isn't those other people that you're interested in. There's always just like one or two in a women's sport that you might be interested in. People might have watched Muhammad Ali's daughter box, but for the most part, they're not ponying up money to watch women box. And even when it comes to wrestling, this is true. I mean, arguably the biggest star that WWE ever had in their women's division was Becky Lynch, and Becky Lynch had that happen organically. The fans were just tired of her being treated like garbage. They made their voices heard. The WWE tried to blow it and make her the least popular by turning on Charlotte Flair, and they took Becky Lynch's side anyway. The WWE decided to roll with the punches, and she became organically popular because the fans knew in their heart of hearts they created her. The WWE wasn't going to do anything with her until the fans said, we refuse to allow you to waste her. We are going to cheer her no matter what you do. And she became big. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that when she left, just before she left, the star was fading. She was nowhere near as popular as she used to be. And you heard less of a pop for her than you had in recent years. And I don't know if when she comes back, if she's going to be able to regain that popularity or not. But there really isn't that much popularity in any of the other female wrestlers. Charlotte Flair's a great athlete. I'm not talking about their athletic ability. Charlotte Flair's a great athlete. Does she have a ton of fan support or people who say, I'm tuning in to see Charlotte Flair? I don't think so. Naomi's a great athlete. Is there a huge fanfare for Naomi? No, there isn't. Shayna Baszler's a legit badass athlete. There's no fanfare for her. The list goes on and on. The closest you have now is probably Alexa Bliss. And Alexa Bliss, unfortunately, through no fault of her own, will probably destroy the women's division. And the reason she'll destroy the women's division is it will stop being about, let's feature the athleticism of women, and it's going to be about lights falling and fire coming out of people's fingertips and people choking up on black goo and supernatural stuff. And if that happens, the women's division becomes a clown show, right? And these athletes who say, I'm a serious athlete, I want to feature all my good stuff, are going to say, I got to do what? I got to go spit up black goo and pretend to be hypnotized and run away from a girl who's 5 foot tall if that's what I'm supposed to do? Yep, that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, well, then the women's division is finished. Now, that's not Alexa Bliss's fault. But Alexa Bliss was in the spot she should have been in, which is she's a sidekick to a man who's obviously some kind of deranged psychopath, and he's convinced her, brainwashed her, done whatever into thinking she's a part of his little crew of quasi-satanic, supernatural, whatever, and she has no interest in a belt. She has no interest in competition. Her interest is to help out Bray Wyatt. Her interest is to be with him. Now they've changed that. And now her interest is, I want a belt. Well, then I don't know what the hell would ever stop you. You basically beat Randy Orton. But you're going to have a hard time with Charlotte Flair? That doesn't make any sense. So unfortunately, what they told Mickie James is probably the truth. There really probably isn't any money in women's wrestling. You got to understand that that pay-per-view at the time, Evolution, featured Ronda Rousey, who arguably was the biggest name they're ever going to have in the women's division simply because she had already made a name for herself with fight fans. And Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, who were big names, and it did not translate into success. It was the lowest viewed pay-per-view in the history of the WWE. And to this moment, I don't think that the women's division is considered a serious division. I just don't. I think it's like a novelty. Okay, the women are going to wrestle now. That'll be a decent match. It's not that they can't put on a decent match. They can put on an excellent match. It's that I think it's considered by most fans just a novelty. And the WWE is doing nothing to help that when you have two straight weeks of one of the women slipping on water, slipping on the ring apron, busting her ass. Another woman who has to rely on her tag team partner to do all the work because she's just a helpless female who just happens to be pretty. Another woman who's letting herself be so distracted by males that she can't even defend her tag team belt. How is this great women's division stuff? How is this promoting the women in any tangible way? It's not. It's not. You have Asuka there. You could have organically made Asuka big. I know there's a language barrier there, and I know that that's a little harder, but there are ways to do it, and you could have done it. You chose not to. You chose to have her count the ring lights constantly and be a champion who's just lucky when she was the champion. You're just lucky to get by this person. You're lucky to get by that person. But when the real good people come along, you can't beat them. Okay. Rhea Ripley has all the charisma of an ice cube. She's not going to fill seats, and she's not going to get a ton of fan support. She doesn't have any charisma. Or at least none that she's showing on WWE TV. So she's not the one. Becky Lynch has charisma, but she was one of the only ones. And that grew stale after a little while, just like anybody would. You can't ride that dog forever. And eventually, yeah, it started to wane a little bit. Ronda Rousey had charisma, whether she was a good professional wrestler, which she was not, or not, she still had charisma. But charisma is more than a catchy song or a catchy entrance or being pretty. Charisma is about people genuinely liking you or genuinely hating you. And not that many people have that. And I fear the Alexa Bliss act is going to grow old in a week or two. And people are going to say, basically, she just stole Bray Wyatt's gimmick. And now we're supposed to believe that this 4'11" girl is indestructible, and she's going to take on all these people who we were told for years and years and years are the greatest athletes in the world and make them look stupid, and we don't believe it, and it's dumb, and it's the equivalent of Matt Hardy doing a flip and landing in a tree during his woke Matt Hardy stuff, and then people are just going to be like, yeah, this is dumb. The women's division is dumb now. So you can get away with that with the Bray Wyatt thing because there were so many other storylines going on. There was so much else that you could say, okay, whoever's going against the Fiend, it's a little dumb, or it's a little whatever, but there's a lot of other things going on. There's nothing else going on in the women's division over there. It's going to be the Alexa Bliss show, and it's unfortunately going to undermine the women's division there. Now, I'm a big Alexa Bliss fan. I thought she did a great job as a psychotic little sidekick for Bray Wyatt. But you've removed Bray Wyatt. And once you removed Bray Wyatt, you destroyed it, because that's like saying, well, we're going to have Virgil leave the Million Dollar Man and go on. Well, what happened to Virgil? How'd that work out? Not very well. So, Mike, I don't know. I mean, I'm a little worried about this because I think this is going to end up being an epic fail for Alexa Bliss, and then they're going to blame her.
They're not gonna blame her. Yeah, they're gonna blame her and all that stuff. And it's their own damn fault. I mean, look, the most successful. We're talking about Mickie James trying to pitch this thing. The most successful women's company is guess who? Guess who owns the company? That would be Paige's mama.
Yeah, or all maybe right? New Japan. Maybe Japan. They have women's divisions.
Yeah, Bellatrix, you know, so that was Paige's mama. I mean, I remember a couple of years back when I first found out about it, and they were talking about, and this was at the time when they were going to do the Evolution pay-per-view, and I said, if they're going to do something, they need to find somebody with the women in their own federation. They need to find somebody who's been a successful woman running a woman's federation. And at the time, the only one I knew of was Sweet Soraya, Paige's mama, you know. And
yeah.
And she's been, you know, she's been doing it since 2005, you know. So anyway, that admits that. And look, you know, there are people that have charisma, as more so on SmackDown than on Raw. I mean, look, you cannot argue that. What's her name? Belair has charisma. Cannot argue. You know, you can't out her.
They give her, Mike. It depends on what they give her. When she was just coming out twirling her hair saying, I'm the EST, I'm better than you, and I'm better than this, and I'm better. No, she had no charisma. As a matter of fact, she was annoying. She was like Matt Riddle. She was just annoying. And her feud with Sasha Banks was just annoying because it was about two women catfighting over who's better. I'm the boss. No, I'm the EST. No, I'm the boss. It was just dumb. Now, when she showed herself and cried at her WrestleMania entrance, yeah, then she had charisma because she was being herself, and we got to see peek behind the curtain and say, well, this is somebody I probably would like. This is the same thing with Asuka. Asuka had zero charisma when she first came in. All she did was walk down with a little dance, peek behind the mask, and nobody is ready for Asuka, like a bad guy. And I said at the time, she might as well be a heel. She may as well be one of these heels whose basic philosophy is no American woman can beat a Japanese wrestler. But then we got to peek behind the curtain, didn't we? And we got to see some of her YouTube channel and stuff and say, hey, she's a really nice person. I like her. She's kind of a cool person. And then the fan support came. I don't know why the WWE don't see this, Mike. I don't know why the WWE don't see that it might be better to let us see some of the real person and less of the character, and maybe they'll get some charismatic people.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, you look at the people down in NXT. I mean, you cannot argue that guys like Io Shirai, charisma up the wazoo. I mean, Even to some extent, the current champion there, charisma, lots of charisma. Now she has a little bit of help with what's her name, that's basically her manager right now, but she's got charisma. So I mean, look, I'll put it to you this way: there are things that can help you out with your charisma, and if you did watch that YouTube thing that I put on the webpage with Johnston, right? And he was talking about how one of the things he was talking about is how right now vanilla plain ring entrances are, and how back when he was doing them for the WWE, you know, within the first few notes, you knew who was coming out, and you knew that they were going to have a lot of charisma. And that song helped them. Their ring entrances helped them. That's another big problem with the WWE right now. Their ring entrances are vanilla plain.
Yeah, I mean, again, though, you have to. There are times when the ring entrances is all they were. Like Bobby Roode, Glorious became a huge. Fans loved to you know, sing along with it, but he couldn't support it. And when he came to the WWE, it was like, this ain't working. Finn Balor with his theme song, and everybody liked to go, whoa! But then it was like, yeah, that's all it is a good entrance. So you need both. You need both. And, yeah, I agree with him. I mean, there are some entrances that are very vanilla plain. But I disagree with him, too, because NWA didn't even have that. NWA didn't even have a song for you to come out to. They just walked out. And there were still plenty of people there who had plenty of charisma. Look how the question mark got over. Look how, Aaron Rex got over. Look how a lot of these guys got over. They didn't even have a theme song. They just walked to the ring. Because they had that intangible whatever that they could get the crowd behind them. I think sometimes, Mike, we rely too heavily on the smoke and mirrors and not enough on the individual to go ahead and try to be charismatic.
Right. And look, the question mark had help. I mean, look, yeah, all he did was say karate and all that stuff, you know, with all due respect to the man himself, you know, because the guy, but he carried it off well, and he did have help. He had Aaron Rex. When you have a guy that's as good as what he does as Aaron Rex. I mean, it's surprising that the WWE doesn't bring him back because I think they need somebody like him very badly.
I'd love to see him come back, you know. And again, this is a guy who I tell a lot of stories about, people like the Jacksons and people, Young Bucks, I should say, and people who snub fans and are rude to fans. But I got news for you. There are also some great stories. I told you about Chris Jericho, who refused to hide away under a tent and lets people pay to even get a peek at him, even if they didn't want an autograph. He said, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'll stand right out here where people who walk into the actual facility itself can see me. If they want to pay and stand in line and get an autograph or a picture, that's fine. But if they just want to stand here and take their own picture, that's fine too. A lot of the other wrestlers didn't do that. They were like, yeah, yeah, hide me away, and the only way you'll get to see me is if you pay. Jericho didn't do that. And I told you that when he was Damian Sandow at an event, he literally signed for a kid who did not realize that you needed to pay to get a signature, and his parents didn't have the money. And he was next in line, and when he found out that it was like, I don't know, $15 or so, the parents told me he had to get out of line. They didn't have the money, and he said, no, don't worry about it. So there are people like that who respect their fans and treat their fans well. It's just that, unfortunately, we don't get to tell those stories that much because it's more salacious to tell about the idiots. But there are a lot of good people in the business, and oftentimes they get shit on. And Jericho is one of them who didn't, because he earned too much respect to get shit on. Jericho was over there right now. I guarantee you, if Jericho had called up that show and said, I don't really necessarily believe in masks, ain't nobody going to say nothing to Jericho. Because he's just too big a name. But you see, that's why I say that these guys are full of crap. Because if you really believed in the strength of your convictions, it doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter who said that. You would challenge them, right? They're not going to challenge Jericho. They'd all just nod and say, I understand your position. I might not agree with it, but I respect your opinion. But if it's a referee, they're like, you're an idiot. You're a conspiracy theorist. You don't deserve to be here. Yeah, I get it. So this is what I'm talking about when I'm saying we have to allow everybody's opinions. We have to allow people to say what's true, too, without calling them names. Now, this guy that's told Mickie James women's wrestling don't sell, I'm sure people are going to say, that's a misogynist. That's the truth, folks. It's just the truth. If I told you that there are more Italians in the mafia than there are Turkish people, that's not me being anti-Italian. That's me telling you the truth. Well, I got news for you. Women's wrestling doesn't sell. It does not sell like men's wrestling. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if that seems backwards. I'm sorry if it doesn't fit your politically correct agenda, but it is the truth. And until the day when they start actually using these women in a proper way, and some of these women take it more seriously, by the way. We're going to run over a little bit today, so if you're in the chat rooms, you may have to listen back. We're going to run over a little today because this is an important topic. Women's wrestling is not just the fault of men who say, you only got 2 minutes, go out there and do what you do. They do that to the men, too. They do that to the men. But, Mike, the bottom line of this situation is some of these women got to take it more seriously, too, because I see them dogging it and giving half-assed matches a lot.
Right. But the problem is if there's another problem. If the bosses don't take it seriously, what do you think the women are going to do? You know, yeah, they're going to be the Charlotte Flairs who know better than not to take things seriously, right? Because if she doesn't take anything seriously, her father's going to jump her ass, right?
But then, Mike, for the times, this is very unusual. How come in NXT the women put on such great matches and they seem to care so much? Then they get up to the WWE and they're like, eh. And you know, it almost seems like they make the big leagues and say, I can relax now. And that's not true. You got to turn the jets on even harder.
Well, it's also the fact that they wrestle two different ways, one way in NXT and one way in WWE. I mean, some, we've said it before. There are a lot of stuff that they don't, that the WWE doesn't allow. It's not just the women, it's the men too. That they don't, if they bring somebody up from NXT, Mr. X, Y, or Z, or Miss X, Y, or Z, they're going to say, oh, you can't do this, this, and this. I mean, how many times have we said it about Keith Lee that there's so much more that that guy could be doing that the WWE doesn't allow them to do? I mean, just
right.
Look at the matches between Sasha and Bayley down in NXT. That final match down in NXT between Sasha and Bayley. It was an epic, epic match. All right?
Bobby, I agree,
Charisma,
with you.
You know, but it was an epic match.
Then, like, what's the solution when you see Sasha Banks and she's getting hurt constantly in WWE and you're saying, why? You didn't get hurt in NXT? How come you're flubbing moves in WWE? You didn't flub them in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to blame for that? It's not necessarily Vince McMahon and company by telling him you got to wrestle a different style. It's them for saying, well, I can't adapt to that style. I don't see AJ Styles going down constantly. He was the guy who said I had to adapt to a whole new style. I came here, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I started wrestling, and I knew I wasn't doing it right because I knew I wasn't getting, you know, the accolades from Vince and the people backstage I should. And I went into his office and said, what is it you need me to do? Because, obviously I'm not doing this right. And he said, once I had it clearly explained and understood what I needed to do, then I adapted and I did it. I don't see him going down constantly. So these women have got to take this seriously, too. And they've got to say, okay, I have to adapt to this style. This is what I have to do. And Asuka had no problem with it. She came from NXT, and she's had no problem with it. Charlotte Flair came from NXT. She had no problem with it. Becky Lynch came from NXT. She had no problem with it. Some of these other women are having horrible problems with it.
Right.
I think they got to take it more.
And think about this, you know. Yeah, we don't see her often enough, but has Naomi had a problem with it? Does she ever get hurt a lot? You know.
No. No, but that's the thing. And you're right when you say the WWE is to blame, too, because they feature people who probably don't have much talent, like Nia Jax, and they undermine people like Naomi, who has a world of talent. So, yeah. When you have a women's division and you say, oh, well, they do that to the men too. Yeah, they do, but there's so many more men. You have a limited amount of the women. You got to use them all, and you got to use the top ones to really get your federation going. And then once you have your federation going and you have that division going where you're saying, look, these women are really rising to the occasion like Becky Lynch did, like Charlotte Flair did, like Asuka did, okay. Then we can use some other people too. But the bottom line is you got to have that set group of people. And I think like Sasha Banks could be one of them, but she's on and off. She'll go out there and she'll put on a match and you'll be like, wow, that was awesome. And then the next time you see her, you're like, well, this was just a botch fest. You know, why is this a botch fest? Until you're consistent. You know, I've never seen like Cesaro in a botch fest. I've never seen AJ Styles in a botch fest. There are certain people you just don't see in botch fests. Well, that's the way it's got to be with the women's division, too. If you want to be treated equally to the men, then you have to live up to that same standard. And that means you have to take every match seriously, whether it's 2 minutes or 20 minutes. You've got to bust your ass to do the very best you can. You can't botch everything. You can't move in slow motion. You can't look like this is so planned and whatever. You got to critique them the same way you critique the men. I've seen, you know, occasions where they whip one of the women into the corner and she barely walks over and just leans on it. And I'm like, could you possibly, you know, make that look like it hurt? Could you possibly take a bump? And then, you know, 8-10 seconds to get the other woman to run into the corner and give her an elbow that looks like it wouldn't knock over a cardboard cutout. And you're like, yeah, you're not bringing it. You're being too delicate. You're just being, you know, wrestling is a contact sport, even though it's predetermined. And you got to look like, okay, well, that looked like it hurt. And I think sometimes the women, Todd, are a little too careful and it doesn't look like it hurts.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, what some of these WWE divas, actually women wrestlers now, that's the way they call it in the division. Like Charlotte Flair, she gets it. Naomi, she gets it. You know, some people don't get it, like Nia Jax or...
You know, you get like a person like Shayna Baszler. She can make good contact, as Asuka found out when she lost her teeth, Mike. But there are some women who seem to work very light. And I think that that's a huge mistake because it makes the rest of the division look phony.
Right. I mean, so you talk about how good an athlete Naomi is, but that finisher, that rear view thing that she does, that finisher,
right,
that looks like it would hurt. When she hits it good on you, and you can tell she hits it, they go down and they don't get up. And that's another thing that the WWE does that they're basically wrestling has done is finishers. We've seen it said it before. Finishers don't mean there are certain finishers that you're not getting out of. You know, Asuka finisher you generally don't get out of. The figure eight you don't get out of. Even to some extent, the disarmor. You know, with Becky Lynch when she returned, you don't get out of it. But there's
right,
few and far between things. You know. Oh, and the KOD, that's another one that you generally don't get out of. But there's very few of these women's finishes. I mean, look, that match between that AEW match that we praised to the hill, even though there was botches with the two women, that hardcore, was it a hardcore match or something praised to either? But they had a bunch of they had some boxes in it, but they tried. They gave it their best shot and they tried. I mean, at least with AEW,
I had botches in it. It also had spots in it where you said, "Well, that looked like it hurt." I mean, that looked legit. That looked like they just brained somebody. So I don't mind if you flub a mat, you know, a spot or two. If you really have a few spots that you say, "Whoa." I mean, that looked like it hurt. But I think far too often when we see, like, a Mandy Rose in there against, I don't know, you know, whoever, and they're just barely touching somebody, and you're like, well, that doesn't hurt. I mean, that doesn't even look remotely like they're fighting. Then that's a problem. Wrestling is supposed to be a fight. And if it doesn't look like you're fighting, then I don't see how you're going to take it seriously. And there are some women in the WWE division and even TNA division, not so much AEW, not so much even NXT, that when they wrestle, Mike, they don't really look like they're fighting.
Right. And look, I know it's a smaller federation now, but even in the NWA, there's some women that they're the women, Camille, you know, they look like when they hit you, it's going to hurt, you know?
Yeah. Look, Thunder Rosa was fantastic over there. I know Ivelisse don't like her, and I'm a big Ivelisse fan too, but, I mean, both of those women look like they're really fighting when they fight. And I think both of those women would be a great addition. I mean, I guess Thunder Rosa's already solidified with AEW. And I don't know, Ivelisse is here and there working. Someone's going to snatch her up, I'm sure. One last thing we wanted to bring up is that apparently Big Cass, W. Morrissey, now has officially signed. Before he was match by match, now he has officially signed a contract. So W. Morrissey, a.k.a. Big Cass, Mike, is now officially an Impact Wrestling star.
He is an Impact Wrestling star, but he's also... I understand he's still going to be working down there in Texas.
Yeah, he'll probably hit spots down there. They probably put that as part of the contract, but I'm sure it'll be a lot less. Makes me wonder if Enzo's going to show up at some point in time. That would be interesting. I don't know if he'd be able to use any of those catchphrases. Boy, that would be interesting. I don't know who has the copyright to all of these, you know, you can't teach that and you know, the whole nine yards. I don't know. I don't know who holds copyright to that. Be interesting if they showed up. Anyway, we had a busy show today. We will talk to you on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.